and then
about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It is 7:05 on a Monday, the 23rd of August.
Monday.
KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Our phone line here is 530-605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. I believe the chat room's up.
Chat room is up.
So you can start your offensive chats right now.
I hope you guys are, because I'm not sure if I am.
Yeah, we're not sure.
But help me get up today.
And speaking of getting up, there's Bad Bob.
Getting up may be the operative word here. 3.5 hours sleep, but the time spent yesterday was on the water, so I think it balances out because that's so restful.
So how many pounds of hair did you have removed from your face and head, Bob?
Probably a fair amount. A pleasure to meet the folks down at Cypress Square Barbershop, where, in fact, my mother took me when I think I was 10, 11, 12 years old, somewhere in that time frame.
Really?
Maybe a little older than that. But, yeah, that building, if that room could talk, it could probably say quite a bit. And fortunately, the statute of limitations has run out.
Well, it does say a lot in there. I was there last week, and, you know, I asked him about Rich Bay, you know, because Rich Bay gets his hair cut there. And I said, well, since Rich doesn't have a lot of hair, you know, you probably don't charge him as much. I said, oh, no. We have to put a surcharge in there. We call it a hunting fee. We have to hunt for the hair, then cut it. So, anyway, Bad Bob, where's your Hawaiian shirt?
Part of the function of a morning show producer is to always give the host fodder for conversation. So, and it also means that we spent the weekend playing instead of doing laundry.
Okay. Well, I got 2 minutes out of you, so that's a minute better than we usually do.
You look good in basic black. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of looking good, here she is. Linda
Bob. Oh, really? I guess it is my lucky Monday morning. Hey, good morning. You know, currently 7:07, as Carl said. Today's going to be 100 degrees. That's right. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We had a ball out there Friday night, and this Friday night, the 27th, will be our last concert. Well, I can't even call it a concert. We just hang out and play music and have a great time, singing all your favorite standards. And so 474-5546, the reason I'm telling you that is because we were sold out last Friday, and there's a waiting list. So it's a really great time, and so we are finishing up our summer music series there. I want to thank a lot of people that came out. Karen Hoyt and her parents, and Nancy Eklund, and Andy Butcher and his family. Daniel, thank you for coming, and Dr. McConnell, and of course, there's always Beautiful Smile with Kathleen White and Pam Hill, and the list goes on. It was like having a party.
Yep, it was. And you know what? Here's the thing is, Audie and his group, Mike and their wives were there, and they're from mosquito abatement. Now, let me tell you something. I did not realize what mosquito abatement is. Well, I knew what it probably had to do with knocking down mosquitoes, but I didn't realize how big it was and the things they do. We're gonna have one of them on, because I tell you what, the amount of work they do, and this is getting to be the Nile. What is it? West Nile virus season. I thought it would be like earlier in the season. No, now it's the time.
So, folks, empty your pools and anything standing water.
That's right. So
Audie Butcher. That name sounds like, shouldn't he just be?
Should be like a general.
He should be Audie Butcher. To me, it sounds like he should be getting on a horse and just kind of going up in the hill. Hey, Audie Butcher was in today.
Nice guy.
You saddle up, Audie.
Nice guy. His wife has a great business, too. We'll talk about that someday. you know, what else happened over the weekend, of course, was, you know, the amount of shows we put on over the weekend. If you have not had a chance, my friends, to tune in on Saturday and Sunday, you need to do that. I mean, it starts off with Dave and Ernie, Let's Sell It, and their phone's ringing off the hook. They have people calling in. If you want to sell it, they'll sell it for you. It's free, everything they find. And then you have Kurt Largent, and in this case, his dad was here, Ron, and they talk a lot of really good common sense in real estate. And then Dr. Trudy Pratt with Healthy Living, and Nancy Sutton Pierce on her East Meets West Health, and then Psych Talk,
They talked about stress. They did a stress test.
Yeah.
I did not pass it, folks.
That's right. Well, it's probably because you're married to me. and then you've got, you know, then you've got Mark in Your Business with Curtis and Jackie Jolly. They are just two live wires.
Yeah.
You know, it's like watch electricity spark across here. And then Bob and Brenda. Our own Bob and Brenda are doing Boomer Tech, which is for...
Very interesting and informative.
For people that are above my age group and probably almost as old as Bob.
We did. We talked a lot about the internet pitfalls that we had mentioned earlier last week, and there's a lot of scams out there. So we thought we would pass along as many of those as we'd heard of, and of course they're very inventive folk out there.
Hey, you know what, Bob? Not to interrupt here, but I pressed a button on my Mac, and I know how to split my screen.
Uh-huh.
She split it 46 times.
I wonder if Butcher could do that. I love his name.
Hey, the man's in charge of a mosquito abatement. And already, we've already told him about that pool next door that's green. Okay? And he says he's going to come out and help us with that. Anyway, the other thing, though, let me finish on us, is that after Bob and Brenda, then on Sundays, we've got Around the House, which is really spreading out on talking anymore sports and talking on cars. And then Doug Craig, Wake Up Call. Oh, Doug's viewpoint may be a little bit different than, say, the majority of the people.
In our lineup.
But what he has the show he had on Sunday, and I urge people to just kind of listen to it. His guest was another psychologist, was talking about how we've gotten away from nature. And the further we get away from nature and the environment, it seems like the harder it is for us to stay healthy and to stay balanced. Because we've got technology in our face all the time. We're surrounded by electricity. And it was a good show. And then, of course, Donnie Greenberg was in with her sister.
With her twin.
Yeah. So that's the lineup. And we're expanding our lineup, my friends. We're expanding the lineup on the weekends. We've already added two more shows that will be starting here in the next couple weeks. And they're community shows. They're people. They're from our neighbors. They've got interesting things to say, important things to say. We got to take a break now.
When we come back, I want to talk about what was number one at the box office. Also, a play that's going to be holding auditions. We want you to really be informed.
And what happens to when the new director, the new general manager of KIXE, makes a command decision? Wow.
We'll be right
back.
Carl
and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Yes.
Barry, you are my buddy this morning. Oh, yeah. There's only one person can do it like Barry. I'm sorry, nobody's... Lou Rawls was close. Yeah. Good morning. Sorry, I kind of got lost in the Barry vibe there. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. 7:16 in the morning, going to be high today of 100. Didn't feel like that this morning, though, did it, huh, with the coming out of the gate and feeling the breeze. Okay, a couple things I wanted to let you know.
Did I get to answer that? Yes, it didn't feel like that.
Well, you know what? You shook your head, and that was... I know that's not good in radio land.
Well, they probably heard it rattle.
Affirmative.
They heard it rattle right
Colonel,
now.
Affirmative. Right?
Ring my bell.
Registration tonight is at 5:30, and auditions are from 6 to 9 at the McLaughlin Theater. If men and women, 18 and over, are interested in auditioning for MASH. First time this play is going to be hitting the North State, and they got the rights to this. So this should really be a lot of fun. If you've ever thought about doing theater, this would be an excellent opportunity. It's open for all men and women, 18 and over. Again, registration tonight is at the McLaughlin Theater at Sequoia School. And 5:30 sign up, 6 to 9 audition.
The plays are going to go end of October, beginning of November. Wade Riggs, Bill and Lisa Collins are involved in this. And Bill and Lisa had such that great musical they wrote, produced, directed, and probably lit for on Club Dead.
Okay, you all have been waiting for the drum roll.
Boom, boom,
the
boom,
Expendables
boom, boom.
Are number one again at the box office. That brought in $16.5 million. It was a big week in the movies, in the box offices, and with Eat, Pray, and Love, and the other guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg, and let's see what
yeah,
else.
They beat Ferrell and Wahlberg.
Nanny McPhee returns. Yeah, all of those because.
Okay, the what? Expendables. You've got Sylvester Stallone, Jason. What's Jason's name from Transporter? Stan or something like that. You've got Dolph Lundgren, who fought with Sylvester Stallone in one of the Rocky movies. Remember, he was the Russian
that
was all pumped up. You've got Steve Austin from World Wrestling. You've got Randy Couture, who was the heavyweight champion of in real fighting in the Ultimate Fighting Championships. You have Jet Li, who is just, of course, the action that has taken over the mantle as the karate guy. Let's see, who else you have in there? Eric Roberts playing a bad guy, you know, a couple of women along the edges. And you got Mickey Rourke there, waxing philosophically about why he lost his soul. But the bottom line is, there's really not a plot here, but there is a lot of explosions and stuff. 2 weeks in a row, America, 2 weeks in a row, that's been number one.
Okay, so tell us the other news.
Two weeks in a row.
Yeah.
It's been number one. It is pure escapism.
It is.
That's right. Lenny wouldn't let me go back and see it again.
You wanted to go home and clean your guns.
I did. That's right. Well, the guns were telling me to clean them. Those voices were telling me to clean the guns. Okay, what else?
I think you said somebody, I might be giving up too much information, but you said how you really relax.
Oh, it's just when you start doing things that, you know, some people ride their motorcycles. That's I like
or
to do
sew
that.
Or knit.
Yeah,
right.
Sew or knit or things like that. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what happens when you cancel a program that nobody watches. It's kind of like, is it like a tree that falls in the forest? If no one is there, does it make any noise? Well, trust me, this one made some noise, and it made it right here in River City. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 7:23 in the morning. Good morning. Bob is on a roll today.
Hey, you might laugh, but I remember these guys before they were together. Not that they're together, but you know
when
what
they
I mean.
Were little and poor.
When John Rich was on his own, and Kenny, Big Kenny, was always performing at 12th and Porter in Nashville. In fact, the guy who played keyboards for me played for Big Kenny, and he used to have these. You know, it was a really fun rock club. So anyway, I was kind of surprised when they got together, but they have definitely come up with some cool stuff.
They have. They're big and rich now. Used to be skinny and poor. Okay. The Phil Smith, the new general manager at KIXE, I think that's his name, has only been on the job for a few weeks. Comes out of Texas. So one of the things that the general manager does as program director is you take a look at the programs that are showing. And KIXE being a public broadcast station, PBS, you realize they get their money from the government. We pay for that. You pay for it, I pay for it. Or anybody pays taxes pays for it, which 50% of us pay for it, okay?
Plus their pledges.
Plus the other 50% of the ones that watch it. Okay, plus their pledges, and we're more than happy. You know, Linda and I are out there. We'll appear on camera for them, and we'll raise money, you know, to keep it on. They have some very good programs.
Make fools of ourselves.
We make fools of ourselves auctioning things
can't
off.
Can't pronunciate.
And the only person that did more than that was was our friend from Channel 7, who's not there anymore. Who laid up against a rug to tell everybody. What it was. You remember that, right?
Orville.
Laid up against the rug. Said, oh, yeah, this feels pretty good, and they sold the rug after that. Anyway, the new general manager was going through the lineup, and there was a show called Democracy Now! He listens to it, watches it. I don't know how many times he did it. He said, this is a pretty biased show. This is a very biased show, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to have a balance here. Well, he took it off the air. Over 300 comments hit Reading.com with that. Over 300. There haven't been 300 comments, I don't think, since Marshall Jones Sr. shot that dog in the backyard. And it wasn't enough to say, you know what, I think that's not a very wise decision. I think that, you know, maybe he should have done this or done this. They said, he's from Texas. And the attack was on. They attacked his looks, his hairstyle, the clothes he was wearing, you know, the fact that probably they talked about his family. They talked about everything. I mean, it was horrible.
This is not a way to welcome somebody into our community.
Well, you know what? Democracy Now! It played at midnight, and then it played at 5 a.m. in the morning. Name me one person besides Doug Craig who watched that.
Well, maybe some people get up early and listen to us.
Well, that's different. We're fair and balanced. As fair and balanced as we can get here.
But he's going to be on this week, so I'm sure.
That's what we're going to say, is he is going to be on Thursday. We're going to be talking to him about this. And it's a brouhaha. This was before he was even going to come on the program. I mean, he was on scheduled to come on even before this happened. But here's the thing, my friends. I've never seen the show, so I can't comment about it. I have read about it. I have talked to friends of mine who are Democrats. Yes, I have many friends that are Democrats and they're liberals who thought that the show really was not a fair show, that it was very liberal. Now, on the other hand, is there a place in public broadcasting for that?
Of course.
Of course. Is there a balance, in other words, a show that may be more conservative to balance it out.
Why not do two shows?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there a possibility on that? Or is it the fact that they looked at it, they looked at the ratings, they looked at the fact that what could be brought in there that could raise more money? Because, let's face it, they still have to raise money for it. It's not just all government, though most of it is. They still want to raise money, you know, to keep the station going, to keep new programming. But what I'm trying to say, and what I think a lot of people said, is he has the right to do this. He has the right to do the programming. That's what they hired him for. They brought him in for this. And that was something else. Well, I mean, we can't find somebody from right here in Reading to do it. Well, obviously not. And the group that hired him was not like one person. It was a cross-section of the city. So if you want to get upset with people, you might want to find out who was on that board. They did pick him, and
well,
there was they went over this for this was not something they did in 2 days. This was something they searched for months.
Long time, and you know, the guy helped create Austin City Lights. I mean, he put that place on the map.
Yeah,
I think it's a good time for us as citizens of Reading and the North State to listen to the show, call in. Talk to the guy, welcome him, find out why he did what he did, or what his thoughts are, rather than, slinging your arrows so quickly.
Well, and it was. I mean, people were extremely, extremely upset. Or maybe they were just needing an excuse. Because then when the comments started, then they got into an intramural firefight about everything. So about every sixth message would be, or seventh message would be about what had happened. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. We're going to take a quick break here for the news, and we'll come back after that. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, North State. 7:34 in the morning if you're just tuning in. This is Carl and Lindebaugh.
Yeah, welcome back. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite on Airport Road. Hey, Doug Tooley's the owner. He's been helping his fellow North Staters since 1985 in the satellite industry. He does Dish TV. He does surround sound. He does your theater and media. And today is Monday. So the first 20 people to bring in an old remote, one that's busted, one the dog's got, one that Bob may have driven over with his Jeep, can get a brand new one. That's a B&T Satellite. Their phone number there is 244-1988, and he's going to be in here today after our show, and we're going to talk about putting Dish TV in our house, which I think we're going to do. And
is it
great
true?
Service, and it's and he backs his service. That's what I like.
Is it true that guys, that one of the most favorite things they like to hold in their hands is a remote?
Well, you know, it's a genetic thing, or I don't know if it's genetic, but it's in our DNA. Women aren't really trained through the thousands of millions of years of evolution. We're trained to just sit there and watch. We're sit there to watch for the animals that have come by, because we're hunters. That's men. Men are hunters. We can squat. We can sit. Since there's no really squatting that much anymore, we instead of that rock, now we take a lounge chair.
Is that why you kind of cock
there.
Your head to the left and go, huh?
That helps you hear better, and you can catch the aroma in the air. Those little molecules as the mastodon comes by. As we sit there waiting with our spear in our right hand, or if we're left-handers, it's in our left hand. So over the millions of years of DNA, that is why we can hold that remote in our hand for hours. And just to make sure, you know, that our fast twitch muscles, which we use when we're stabbing with that spear or working, we change that channel back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We're there. We're just ready. We're waiting for the mastodon.
Did you hear that, Doug? You know what? The grandkids are coming over Christmas. We're so excited, which means we need to have all TVs working.
I'm going to give my little Mikey, my grandson, a little remote.
You're going to give him a little remote? How about the big old honking remote?
Well, hey. There's a remote that we have for women, too, though. Oh, yeah. Only thing it is, you want to see if you can turn it down. It just doesn't
work. I thought maybe it went cha-ching, cha-ching. Yeah. You know, you guys watch TV, we'll go and give me the credit card. We'll go have fun.
Well, that's you hunter. That's you gatherers. They're gathering. You are gathering, and that's what you do. And that's why you all talk all the time, because you're up there gathering and getting this.
Oh, really? Well, who do you think listens to you when you've had a bad day? Okay, there's a survey that says many New Zealand women agree their loved pooches are better listeners than their partners. Well, some men believe their dogs show them more affection, a pet care company survey shows. Purina survey, released on Monday, showed 31% of female dog owners believe their pets have better listening skills than their partners. And 14% of men say their dogs give them more love than their partner. After interviewing 250 dog owners and 250 cat owners nationwide, the survey also concluded nearly 50% of female cat owners share their problems with their feline friend. More than 80% of female or male dog or cat. We're not even going to get into cats and dogs. I've never really had a cat. I think it's because my mom and my brother were hugely allergic. But, you know, cats are so indifferent. You could be dying on the floor, and I think they would just not even come over and just give you just a little lick where, you know, your pet, your pooch. Anyway, so more than 80% of females and male dog or cat owners admit to cherishing pets, with more than 50% considering themselves a mom or dad to their pets. So the survey is, who listens to you, pets or your partner?
Were you talking to me?
Well, you left the room, so no, I'm really talking to my friends. And just, you know, hey, that's just a little survey. I thought I would thing. Do you want to go over
a couple of them?
10 things that you can do that are free.
10 things you should never pay for, I think is what it says.
All right, you can get for free though, right?
You can get for free.
Did you know that you can get basic computer software?
Yes, including spyware. Or not spyware, but the virus, antivirus stuff, and get it for free.
The most notable is OpenOffice. The open source alternative to those other guys. It's completely free and files can be exported in compatible forms.
I have it on my computer.
OpenOffice.
I have it on mine.
Your credit report. You don't have to pay for your credit report.
No, they usually throw mine wrapped around a brick through the window.
You can you can visit, of course, www.annualcreditreport.com, the only true free place to sell to see all three of your credit reports for free once a year. That's pretty cool, don't you think?
I think it is.
Books. There's a cool place in your town that's renting out books for free, the library. All right, that's pretty cool. Water. Besides the monthly utility bill, there's no reason to shell out a dollar for every bottle of water you drink. Bottled water is so last decade anyway. We're over it into tap filters and reusable water bottles. It's cheaper for you and better for the environment.
You go to the large, you know, big bottles of it that comes in. So not just the spring water. What else is free?
Well, in credit card, with as many credit cards as are available in the market today, it's easy to avoid credit card with an annual fee. Unless you're dead set on a particular perk that a fee card brings, skip the annual fee and pocket the money for yourself. So you should be able to get zero. You shouldn't have to pay for a credit
right.
card.
Well, we're going to talk about that because credit cards are making you pay even more now.
And some checking accounts also. You can get free checking accounts. DVD rentals. Did you know, this is not free, but did you know that you can rent DVDs from Redbox? You know, I've seen it before in Safeway. For a buck.
Yeah, those boxes, you can get them for a dollar.
Yep. And sometimes you can find coupon codes where you can avoid the dollar charge. Bob is ready to weigh in on that.
I don't think I haven't rented a DVD in ages, and we have Netflix, and I don't think we've gotten a disc from them in ages because we do the online streaming now, movies on demand. The quality is right there.
We've used that before, too. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a number of things we are going to talk about here. You know, people that could receive more in assistance from the government are not doing it here in the North State. I find that interesting. I'm not sure it's because they don't know or it's just because they choose not to. And the mosque in New York, again, is in the papers. Again, there's rallies for and against it. We're talking about the last year in Iraq, but is it truly the last year in Iraq or not? All these we're going to cover before we start our 8 o'clock hour when we have Reading City Council candidate Francie Sullivan will be on today. It's Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:45 in the morning. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Or you can chat with Linda on our chat room if you go to KCNR1460.com or even write to her at Linda at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's going to be 100 degrees today, so you go to Espresso Joe's located there, and you get that iced coffee, you get the kind of smoothie they have. Take it next door in their big community room with all the chairs and tables, and take your computer in there. It's free Wi-Fi. Sit there and enjoy your time on your computer. You can go on to Reading.com and look at things that are happening in our city, because Reading.com, of course, is the online edition of the Record Searchlight, and it appears that all papers, or as Bob puts it, Dead Tree Media, is in trouble. And they had a couple of really good articles about what's going on, how papers and magazines and even books, even TVs, even, you know, your even television programming is contracting and shrinking. And how bad this is. How the fact is that people go online to read. How the major newspapers, the major newspaper companies, which are the ones that control most of the newspapers in this country. In fact, did you know that there's very few locally owned newspapers anymore? There's very few locally owned media outlets anymore. The fact that you know that we're locally owned is in a numbered market is an anomaly. We've gotten phone calls from all over, not believing it was just a couple that bought this thing. A couple of who were not millionaires who bought this radio station. Michael Quinn got another one. Most media outlets, most of the stations here in town, and it's not an indictment against them, but they're owned by corporations. That's just the way it is, because that's what started. They started like Rupert Murdoch started buying up everything. Then you've got Scripps. You've got it all. Like right now, the professional news business, as we know, may be replaced by something entirely new and still unknown. Bob?
I do have one concern about this, that if all your information, all your input is coming through a single pipeline, that bothers me, especially when the government has the switch of that pipeline under its control.
You know, right now, well, that's true. And so, what's, you know, how many decisions are made in New York that come down to the corporate level or to the local stations here? I mean, I'm not, again, this is no indictment, but how many decisions are made in New York that affect radio stations right here in Reading? And then, and they, you know, of course, they affect Shasta County. So, and they are 3,000 miles away. And what do they base the decisions on? Anyway, it looks like right now, especially in newsprint, that computers using search analytics, not editors. Okay, this is important. Computers using search analytics, that means words that are put into them. Not editors are deciding what gets reported, offered, and read. Companies like Associated Content and Demand Media pay their stables of freelancers to provide newsy feature stories of interest, not to readers, but to advertisers. This is a great article. This was in the Record Searchlight, and I am quoting, you know, from this. Much of what passes as news is commentary about news, created on individual Facebook pages and emailed or tweeted between friends. Much of the news industry is seeking to monetize these relationships, making the gathering news a lower priority. So what they're saying is that the news, as we've known it in the past, is changing dramatically, my friends. Let's go to the phones here. Bob, good morning. You are on KCNR.
Good morning. My name is Don.
Don, I'm sorry. Bob can't hear.
No problem.
Good morning.
What really bothers me about the news is they will report some disaster or catastrophe, and when you're there, actually, it is nowhere near what they're reporting. For example, they'll make you, several years ago, we were on a cruise. We had a couple of our children in San Francisco. It seemed like the whole of San Francisco was destroyed, where actually it was terrible. It was the bridge and certain areas, and they just panicked everyone. And there was no need for that widespread panic.
I think you're exactly right. There's an old saying in the news: if it bleeds, it leads. The bloodier it is, the more effort it takes. The scary thing I see here is, besides the sensationalism of that, is that people are mistaking commentary with real news, and that you're getting commentary disguised as news. That to me is a real scary thing. We do commentary here. We do news from 6 to 7. We do commentary from 7 to 9. MSNBC, Fox News, CNN. A lot of times I believe that you'll see news with commentary in it, and you're just not quite sure what it is. I'm not talking about their talk shows. I'm talking about their,
I understand.
Yeah.
I just started listening to your station over the weekend, and what struck me is your shows are commentary. On both sides, they seem to be hate-mongering at times. It's really getting to me. It's where I don't want to listen to them. These celebrities or entertainment people on both sides of the fence, and it's just hate mongering at times.
It is hate mongering.
I've had enough of it.
Well, you know, but also we offer on our community radio. We offer all sides, and the fact is that we have some, you know, very liberal commentators. We have a conservative, and the rest of our shows tend to be more of a healthy, hey, here's how we can help type shows.
I like it.
Yeah, well, you know, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you know, Don, you're right. How do we lose this where you could talk with each other and disagree and not end up trying to destroy the other person? Where did that go away?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. When did we get to that stage where we lost our objectivity?
Yeah, and we lost our humanity even when we're talking to each other. I mean, it's not enough, it seems like, anymore just to disagree. Now we have to destroy, burn, and eat the other side. You know, I mean, it's like it's unconditional warfare. And there's something wrong with that.
Well, our society has taken that kind of turn. When you think about parents that are killing another parent because they disagree on a kid's game and scores and how many, you know, I think maybe 15 years ago we would have never, or 20 years ago, we would have never seen something like that.
Yeah.
Sportsmanship.
And the real shame of all this is I like to hear the different views and different sides of things without, as you're talking about, hate-mongering and anger and all the things. You know, to answer your question, what's happened to people is we don't think of each other anymore. We're fighting for our own survival, financially, emotionally, on many levels, and our objectivity is gone.
I think that was a very important sentence you just had, Don. I think that was a... I think that may have pulled a lot of it in. If people are fighting for, they feel like they're fighting for their survival on some level. And at that point, then there's the enemy. Anyway, okay, hey.
Well, this next question is a self-serving question. Can you tell me more about this new show you're having on the weekend?
We will as soon as we get the outlines for them. It's again, there'll be local programming. There'll be it looks like one's going to be an outdoor show. You're really going to like. I like it. One's going to be for our brides and weddings. And then we have another one that has to do with morality and making the right choice. So, you know, those are three right now that are going to be here in the next couple weeks.
So, great. Thank
so
you.
So just keep following.
Keep up the good work.
All right.
Thank you.
Spread the news, Don. Thank you. Okay, this is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. You know, I love talking to new people that come on to the, you know, that find us here. And... you know, you get new insights, and you need that.
Well, and what we love here is that, I swear, everybody that comes on the air and has their own show here, they become we're like a family. We believe that you can come to the table and agree to disagree. It doesn't matter. It just be open-minded, but state your argument. Let's talk about it. Let's look at it.
And let's have a margarita afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to take a break here. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hello.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Lindebot, 758. Let's go to the phones. Bob. Coach Bob. Coach Bob. You're on.
Good morning, Linda, quick comment for you. Back in the mid late latter 50s, I was playing Pony League ball at Tiger Field downtown Reading, and I watched coaches and fathers continuously getting in fist fights in the parking lot. This is nothing new, hon. This is nothing new.
Did they shoot each other, though?
No, they weren't. They may have been packing. It was more likely back then.
Well, of course, you know, you go back into even the 30s and you read and you see, you know, documentaries of, you know, passion that happens and outbreaks, that breaks out,
yep,
you know, during the games.
But
it's not pulling out a gun and killing somebody.
Was it?
Over a hockey.
It's just quicker that way. I watched one coach get in a fight with a one-armed father. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. I mean, how do you justify that?
We've
got two
arms,
he's got one. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. But it's been going on forever. Since a ball got invented, I guess.
I guess so. You know,
Goodbye, guys.
Maybe it's just we hear it more because the computers are picking out those stories for us to read because an editor wouldn't do that.
I think that's really an interesting
visual. Hey, look, our guest in our next segment, here we got to go break for the news, is Francie Sullivan, candidate for Reading City Council. And if you got a question for her, this is the time to ask her. Carl and Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:06 in the morning. Good morning.
Going to
be hot today.
Yeah, it's currently 77 degrees. Going to be high today of 100. That's right. We're going into a hot week. Tuesday is going to be 108.
That's right. Okay, tomorrow, 108, my friends. We will warn you again. But there will be somebody out there. And you go, what kind of idiot would do this? They would leave their dog in a car. Well, how about the one across the street from us the other day, and one of our people went across the street screaming and beating on the car.
I didn't beat on the car.
No, that was you. I'm talking about somebody else. Tammy saw somebody across the street here, and she went out screaming.
Oh, good, good.
Tammy, who never raises her voice.
Need to do that. Need to, you know, string people up who do that, slap them around a little bit and say, this is absolutely unacceptable.
Well, North State, welcome to my world.
Yeah. Our guest this morning, we're thrilled. Now, you were jumping up and down when we said 108. I'm not exactly sure why, but good morning, Francie Sullivan. We're thrilled to have you with us today.
I love 108. I think, you know, people move from all over the world to the Southwest. I mean, Phoenix and Scottsdale brag about how warm it is. I don't know why we've always viewed that as a bad thing here. I used to call up some of the local news weathermen when I knew them and say, quit complaining about it being hot. This is a good thing.
I think we're just the wimps here. You know, I mean, I've been in 140 degrees. I've been in 130 degrees.
Well, now I might drop it.
And when you think about it, somebody said, well, isn't this terrible? And you think, well, you're wearing shorts. You go from air-conditioned car, the air-conditioned buildings. You know, there's cold water. There's, you know, beer. Margaritas. So, life could be worse.
I've lived in Vegas before where it's really hot. It was okay.
Yeah. 108 if you have to wear pantyhose or a necktie. Not so hot. But, you know, who does that anymore? I mean, you see almost everybody dressing casually 7 days a week.
Our new board operator, Smart Sean, I think, as soon as you said pantyhose, his ears perked up. So I'm not sure what that means. Okay. We're bringing
on
in
that note, good morning, Francie Sullivan. You are running for city council.
I am.
And for those who are listening this morning, good morning again, and welcome to our show, Free Fire Radio, here. Tell us about who you are, a little bit about Francie Sullivan and your history and what led you to wanting to put your hat in the ring for city council.
Well, I'll start with the last first. I started attending city council meetings because of other groups that I'm involved in and issues that we had on, and mostly as moral support for things. I'm on the board of the Women's Refuge and things, and the city has been helpful with that. And I was concerned about the tone, I guess. And I started attending more meetings and got more concerned. I heard someone calling in a while ago about civility and hate mongering, and I think we really need to work on that in our city. I think nationwide there is a lot of name calling and there is a lot of mean spiritedness, and Reading isn't like that. I mean, we're a community that rallies for people, and I think we need leaders that rally the community and the public employees to find solutions to the problems that we have. And I think we can do that. And we need to not assign blame or view public employees as the enemies. I mean, I would have hated to try and get here this morning without my hot coffee provided by electricity and water and the roads and all the things that public employees provide. So that's what caused me to throw my hat in the ring, and I do have some experience. Now I'm getting nervous. I was a Shasta County supervisor for 8 years, and I've been there and done that. To coin a phrase, I guess we thought those were the worst hard times. It was in the early 90s, late 80s, when before I was on the board, they had to close the county hospital, they'd had to close the library, and we thought things were as bad as they could be. We're forced to cut benefits for employees. We cut employees. We made everybody chew their pencil down lower and write on the backs of paper. And I mean, you know, everything we could think of. And so we need to work at, I think, looking at more creative solutions to some of the problems we have now. I have lived in Shasta County off and on since 1966. I came here to go to Shasta College, and then, you know, you just can't tear yourself away. And actually, the heat is one of the things that always draws me back. I was born and raised in Montana, so, you know, I think this might be God's country. You can be warm here quite a bit of the year. And my husband is a retired forester for Roseburg Forest Products, and we, you know, lived all over the county, and we love it here, and we want this to be as great a place as it can be to live.
Great. Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. Our guest is Francie Sullivan, who is a candidate for Reading City Council. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
In a medical emergency...
This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:13 in the morning. You know, everybody wants to rule the world. You know, we always play that when we have candidates that are running for something on the show. So don't think it's just aimed at you, Francie. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by BNC.
My husband is home laughing right now, I'll tell you.
You know what? Maybe you'd like to call in and what's his name?
Dick,
maybe you'd like to call in and tell us what it's like. You know? Tell us, is this something the city of Reading wants to get into? Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley, the owner there, is a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. He's been helping people here in this county since 1985. Let me tell you, Doug guarantees his work. He oversees his people. He takes responsibility for his work. And you can't say much more than that. And if you want Dish TV, he's the man to go to, surround sound, at home theater. In fact, he's coming in today. We're getting ready to do that at our home. But we put our money where our mouth is.
Currently 77 degrees. Going to be high today of 100. And, of course, Francie's over there with her you know, hands in the air. I'm like, what? 108? Yeah, bring it on. I like hot weather. We are very happy to have in the seat today. Our guest seat is Francie Sullivan running for the city council. And, oh, my gosh, you know, I got an email. Are you going to the fights tonight at the tea party of Murray versus Jones?
Now, that goes back to that civility thing I was talking about. We hope that it will be a productive discussion about issues. They might have the description correct. And yes, I am planning on going.
Well, you know, I think that...
I'm thinking that the two of them asking questions is a great opportunity to learn a lot of things about the city.
I think it is. Well, you've got, you know, Ken Murray, who's got lots of experience, and he's very, very quick to answer. And then you've got Patrick Jones, who's been the mayor and been here for the last 4 years. He's been on the city council and is very knowledgeable. And they have, I think in some ways they agree on some things, you know, because we've had them both on the show several times. And on some things they are diametrically opposed. So you should be able to hear a couple of opposing viewpoints. And I don't think either one of them will become acrimonious or this. I think you'll see a polite night tonight. If there's questions, and there's no questions from the audience either, from what I understand, which usually is what kind of like starts firing people up. You know, you're a homegrown terrorist and all those kind of things. Okay, Francie, the city is in dire straits. We are losing money every quarter. The housing values have plummeted again. More businesses shutting down. I think this last quarter we're down $7 million. We've got all of our services are in trouble. What are you going to do to change this? What are some of the things that you would like to do to bring us back, or at least hold what we have?
Well, again, I think we need more leadership and more vision about rallying the community. I know there have been business people in the community. I went to a program that I think was driven by Barb White of Prestige Gifts. Gosh, I hope I'm...
Right, you're right.
I hope I'm saying that correctly.
She's also got cars.
Terrible to mention someone's name and then not get the name of their business right, but about shopping locally.
Right.
And certainly I think all of us think of that, I hope, at some level. But I think we need to be yelling that. We need to be, we need to be doing that kind of thing. I also think this is a huge opportunity for us to rally the community to work on a lot of issues. I think everything from things as mundane as picking up the litter and cleaning up in front of businesses. I mean, I think there are parts of Reading that you can drive around that look so prosperous and so appealing, And then I live out near Riverview Country Club on Sherrill Drive, wonderful, charming street. But when you drive down Pacelli, then you go by some businesses that are open and I assume are, you know, doing well. And there's weeds in the front. It looks decrepit. It looks like we're a, you know, failing city or something. And I think things like that make a huge difference. They make a difference about how we feel about our city. I think we need to do those things. I've read about some cities in the Bay Area that are not viewed as very prosperous cities where their schools were doing really badly and the community rallied. I mean, they've got grandparents down there listening to kids read. We have a tremendous spirit of volunteerism in our community. And certainly that's not the answer to all of our problems. But it is a time when instead of feeling helpless, I think we need to rally people and use their time wisely and fix things that we can fix with volunteers and with community spirit.
Well, if the way the community looks when people drive through, what do you think about 19 communes in the size of the city of Reading when Oakland's got 3 that sell marijuana? They have 19 cooperatives that sell marijuana here in the town. What do you think of that? What kind of signal is that sending, a positive or a negative signal?
You know, to be perfectly honest, it seems to me like that shouldn't be the main thing people see. And I have to tell you, the one that is open in Mission Square, I didn't know was there until there was, I think, a lawsuit or something about it.
I think there's 3 in Mission Square.
Oh, well, I see gifts when I look at Mission Square. I don't know that visually that's something that attracts people's attention if they're driving down the street. I'm just missing out, but...
Well, there's been a lot in the paper and from the city council that are making rules about marijuana.
Certainly,
What is your opinion on that? About should medical marijuana be restricted? Should it be is the city going in the right direction right now with that, or what?
I think the people in this. Well, let me first of all say that I have huge issues with the initiative process for just this reason, because I think anyone can put an initiative on the ballot without it being well written, without the cost being allocated. I mean, without saying this is how much this is going to cost and this is who is going to pay for it, which ought to be on every piece of legislation that is looked at in this state, whether it's put out by the people or it's put by legislators. I think the marijuana laws particularly are really troublesome because they were not specific. They didn't spell it out, and they put every community in the position of using resources to define how they're going to provide these services. But I think you have to respect the vote of the people in the state and then try to find solutions to the problem. I listened to the discussion last week with the city council, and it's when you're watching from the outside, you don't have all the details that you have, but it appears to me that the police chief has been making a good faith effort to meet with all sides of the issue and try and address their concerns. And I think that's, you know, and the law has been passed, so that's the best we can do.
Okay. We've got to take a break here. Our guest is Francie Sullivan. She's running for Reading City Council.
And we have not brought the phone number up because the chat room is open, or you can email me the phone number hotline to ask Francie questions, comments, 605-4567. That's 605-4567. Or you can email me, Linda, at kcnr1460.com. Go on our open chat line as well. We'll be right back after these messages.
You can't just hang...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, 8:25 in the morning. It's going to be a great day today. It's going to be 78 now.
I was just listening to the wonderful guitar riff there from the, what a great song, Eagles. You know,
that's
if we
Bob,
ever get a
that's
chance.
That's Bob playing. Bob's playing his guitar in the background.
Currently 78 degrees. We are climbing up to almost 100 degrees today. What are you doing? You're what?
Well, I thought Bob was pointing at something, and he was. He was pointing at my coffee cup. He
says,
No, I thought he wanted you to look at the chat room. I thought it was exploding.
Well, the chat room is open, and we're going to be going to that. We're also taking your call, 605-4567. With us this morning, we're very happy to have you here, is Francie Sullivan, who is running for city council. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, you know, let's... Francie, the Policemen's Association...
Yes.
...has backed you on this.
Yes.
You were aware that they were advertising for candidates.
I heard that,
yeah.
And I actually tried to find someone who had the paper. I mean, I get the paper, but I didn't see it. And I would have liked to have seen the ad.
Well, see, it was on our show, so it was.
See, I missed
see, now
that.
You can
I'm
just
sorry.
Click over just a couple of points there, and there you are. Community radio at its best. No, they had ads that they talked about running for office. You and two others are being backed specifically by the Police Association. I don't call it a union; I call it association. You know, sometimes I'll say unions. Do you owe them anything from that?
No. No, and I've been very straightforward about that with all of the support that I have, and I have, I think, a history of that from my time when I was a county supervisor. The first time I ran for the county supervisor, the president of the Builders Exchange was the president or the chairman. I can't remember what his title was, but the head of my campaign committee. And I promised them the same thing that I promised the police union, that I'll listen, that I'll be respectful, that I will always fight for fairness and equity. And, you know, I mean, I have, I'm trying to think how, I can't think of the right word, but the police unions actually can look at my record. And they know that when I was a county supervisor, I voted for cuts in benefits and cuts in staff, and when that was the only choice we had. And I'm very proud of the fact that I still believe I have their respect, and that's very important to me. And that is, in fact, a huge part of why I'm running, because... I mean, I'm honored to have the support of the police and the firemen and the electric workers. And, you know, I, as I said earlier, I think public employees provide a wonderful way of life for me. I'd hate to get up in the morning without having those services.
Right.
And I think that they also have wonderful ideas about how to cut costs in the city. And I think that what needs to happen is they need to be negotiated with in a respectful manner. And we need to work to solve these problems as a community. We need to ask people for their help and their ideas rather than painting them as the enemy.
Well, we've only got about a minute left here. Bruce is on the line. Bruce, if you just wait, we have to take a break after this because I know the question you have is going to take longer than 30 seconds, at least I think so, for Francie to answer. So if the community, should the community weigh in on the... on the pay and the retirement through these initiatives, then that are these ones we're voting on, these propositions.
Well, I'm actually somewhat outraged about those initiatives, not because they're asking the people's opinion, but because they're being portrayed as actually having a role in making the decision. And because we are a general law city, they are simply opinion polls, and they cost $50,000.
Okay. Holding that thought, we're going to take a break here. We've got the news coming on, and this is Carl on the Debat. Our guest is Francie Sullivan, running for city council.
Bruce, hold on.
This is KCNR 1460.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lucera. As the day for the end of combat operations in Iraq approaches, Vice President Joe Biden...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, it's going to be 100 today. You go in there and get that iced coffee. You walk in, they've got the finest walk-in humidor in California, if you like cigars and any type of tobacco they've got there. But they've got 40 different types of coffee, 60 different ways to fix it. You could drink coffee your way for the rest of your life and never have the same one twice.
It's currently 78 degrees. It's going to be high today of 100. Our guest this morning is Francie Sullivan. For those of you who we have emails, we've got calls. But let's go to the caller on line one. Bruce, good morning.
Well, good morning, Carl, Lynn, and Francie.
Thank you for
good
waiting.
Morning.
I've been listening for about 15 minutes, and I've learned zero from Francie, other than generalities. I mean, the problem is that we're out of money. I mean, let's face it, there's nothing different than that. Now, is she going to be able to get everybody in one room and have tea and crumpets and kumbaya type setting to where everybody's going to give up? Because somebody's going to have to give up. And asking people to be involved in communities and sweep their own sidewalks and everything, I don't think that's going to be the answer to it. People involvement, you're asking people to be compassionate. But it's hard to do when there's people losing their houses and people unemployed out here and working really hard, and then they see these people are on the better side of the line. They get they can retire at actually age of 50 or 52 and draw 97% of their benefits. These entitlements have to be paid for at some point in time, and kicking the old can down the road is not going to answer the problems.
Okay, Bruce. Francie?
Well, I think that...
Okay, let's get rid of that call because it's on an echo. Thank you. Okay, Francie, go ahead.
I think that everyone's that I've talked to is in agreement with the caller, with Bruce. Mm-hmm. Hi, Bruce. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that there need to be changes in the retirement system in California. But this, we didn't get to where we are overnight, and so to fix it overnight is pretty startling. And I think, you know, the other thing is cities are not completely broke yet. I mean, there haven't been any that have actually gone out of business. Cities like Vallejo have tried. But cities are somewhat different than private businesses in that just because times are tough doesn't mean they won't go on. And so you have to maintain an employee base that will carry you through to the good times. You have to remember that if there's an emergency, if a rail car full of something terribly destructive blew up, you have to have a base of people here that are skilled and have history and have the skills to take care of our community.
I don't think anybody's arguing that. I think the point is that I see in the arguments when people call in is the fact that the retirement and the health system has got to be changed.
Absolutely.
Do you believe that the union should be paying a percentage of their health care and their retirement for CalPERS?
I believe that it should be negotiated the same way it was negotiated to get here.
But
that's the way it needs to be done. I'm not arguing that it shouldn't be done. I'm arguing in the method. I think it needs to be done. I mean, what's happened is, and I attend city council meetings, I don't know that this, I mean, the way it sounds if you sit through the meetings, is that the city employees are portrayed as greedy enemies who, you know, took this money on, without... It was negotiated. And I know when I was at the county, it was the same thing. The formula changed. What we did was we gave, we paid health care benefits. We paid for a retirement program because of the way it was financed, it didn't really cost local government anything. It was paid for out of the investment pool. And so in years when you couldn't give wage increases, that's what you did. And so now it needs to be undone the same way. To just cut their benefits by 9%, I mean their pay by 9%, which is what asking them to pay for that in one lump sum is pretty startling, and I think we need to work that out. And yes, I do think sitting around in a room, I don't know about the kumbaya stuff, but I think inviting people in and saying, here's where we are, I mean, this is what we've got. How are we going to provide these services? And letting them have a place in the discussion rather than slamming their fist down and telling them how it's going to be is a good, it's the way, I mean, in my life, in my employment, I've responded much better to that than I have being called names. And
if it has to change, do you believe in a two-tier system that people being hired next week should have a different retirement than the ones that are already there?
That is what I recall we did at the city.
At the county.
At the county.
I think that has been approached before, and that's been turned down by the associations. I mean, I'm not positive. I think it has. So you believe there should be, there's got to be changes, and they should start, but not everything at one time.
I think you need to negotiate.
Okay.
And I mean, it can't be one-sided. That isn't what negotiations are about.
Right.
But I will tell you, I have had a number of public employees tell me how offended they were that they are portrayed as not caring about the sustainability of their retirement system.
In the case of the safety officers,
they don't get Social Security, so no one has more interest in PERS long-term.
I believe that, and I think a lot of people realize that they do. But I think also, and we've got to take a break here, is that people see 90%, and I'm talking about for the police department, they can get 90% of their base pay, that they're close to $100,000. You have, and then it's thousands of dollars paid in every year to the health care funds. I think these are things that all have to be addressed and brought out, and I think both sides need to be able to say, yeah, this is true, but this is also true. It's not just all one way. Well, we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. It is 8:45 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Down in the Cypress Square off Athens Avenue, DC Tim and the Man in Black. They will cut your hair. They will not style it. They won't gel it. They won't blow dry it. They will cut it. And they will cut it well, and they'll cut it for a very good price. And it's a fun place to go into. That's the Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. Go down and visit them. Mention my name. Nothing special will happen. And they'll tell you funny stories.
Okay, we have an email. Let me get back here to...
Our guest is Francie Sullivan, running for the Reading City Council, who threw herself into the flames of this.
Well, guess what? I'm going to have to go on to... Why don't we go on to our caller, because somehow I got locked up here on my computer.
Okay.
It happens.
Charles,
glitches.
Good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning.
What's your question, Charles?
Yeah, the question I have for Ms. Sullivan is the same one I posed to Ken Murray a week and a half ago. It's about the fact that the police union... for want of a better term, when they made their concession offer, insisted on a 12-month delay in negotiations as an absolute prerequisite for any offer that they would accept. And given that we are a general law city, and given that everything, rightly should be handled in closed door negotiations, it seems that a 12-month delay via a 12-month extension in the contract is really counterproductive. And if the association is really that interested in negotiation, it would seem to be that they would not be insisting upon a 12-month delay in the start of negotiation, given that March of 2011 and in March of 2012, the same people are going to be on the city council in both of those dates.
Okay, Charles, that's a good question.
So I'd like Ms. Sullivan to answer that, if she will.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Charles.
My understanding of what happened is that the city, that one of the bargaining units for the police offered a concession to the city in exchange for keeping some of the officers that were laid off. they offered a give back. And what they wanted in exchange for that offer was an extension of their contract for 1 year. I think from their perspective, they were going halfway. They had made the offer. It wasn't asked of them. They made the offer to do that.
What do you think of that?
I don't have all the numbers that were involved. I always think it's kind of a cheap shot to criticize people when you may not have all the information. But I will tell you from what I could hear and see at the council meeting, and I wasn't at the council meeting that night, but I watched it on the video from the City of Reading. Thank you, City of Reading, for offering that service. I urge everyone out there to actually watch the city council meetings online there if you can't go. But I thought that, I think keeping officers on the street right now is paramount. I really do. I think, we lived in the Bay Area for a couple of years to help with some family things. And I think we take so much for granted here. I know Ken Murray talks about gangs. I couldn't agree more. I think, when I was on the Board of Supervisors in the 90s, the sheriff and led by, I think, Bob Blankenship, all of the law enforcement officers here really got behind keeping gangs under control, keeping them from taking over our city. And I think we just have no idea what it's like to have every street sign in town, every bridge, covered with tagging. And that's obviously the least of the damage that gangs have. And I think we are seeing an increase in gangs. And I've wondered about trying to entice businesses here when they open the paper and there's a gang shooting on the front page. I mean, you can stay in Oakland and have gang shootings. I think anything we could do to keep patrol officers on the street right now, accepting a concession for a year, makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay. One of the questions from our people emailing in.
Okay. The city currently charges REU in lieu property tax of $6 million a year. This, of course, raises our electric rates. If elected, will you continue this questionable practice? This is, of course, this is an email that's come in. This is a question to you about the REU property tax.
I'm really sorry. I am not familiar with that information. I can't offer an informed position on that.
And I'm not even sure the person wrote that correctly. So it's a but I think they're saying is that they're giving REU a $6 million. They're charging $6 million, which then is passed on to the ratepayers. And would you let this continue? And so that may be something that we need to take a look at.
Yes, okay. I certainly will be asking questions about that.
Okay. Hey, we're going to have to take a quick break here. Our guest is Francie Sullivan, who is running for city council, who wants to throw herself into this fire of pay cuts, people being laid off, you name it. It's going on in the state of California, and we're a microcosm right here in the city of Reading. Wants to jump in there and see what she can do to change these things. Carl Endebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Back down, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Endebot, it is 8:57 in the morning. Let's go to the phones. Elizabeth, you're on.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. Thank you.
We're fine, Elizabeth.
Great. You looking forward to tonight?
Yeah, we've been talking about it today on the show. And
It should be good. I kind of wanted to touch on something that Francie had said about civility, and I encourage everyone who's aware of this debate and who will be attending this debate that there is certainly some humor to be found in the way that we have set this up. Certainly it's a serious matter and it will be very enlightening for everyone, but also to find some fun in the whole process as we go into the election period. And let's face it, if we did things the way that we had always done them, that hasn't gotten us into a good spot now. So I think the fact that we've designed this to be a little bit different is a real advantage to the voters. Also, we will have timers and assistance to each person in the debate, so there'll be a good team up there on the podium. So it's we've got a good structure planned.
Okay, so are you searching Patrick Jones and Ken Murray before they get up there for knives?
Well, you know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, knives, brass knucks, all these things. Okay, and then their supporters with their signs, and then the people running through the crowd shrieking. Okay, all right.
You know, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. We certainly have covered all the bases.
Right. Okay, Elizabeth.
I'll say that for sure.
That's 6 p.m. tonight, the Bonneview Baptist Church. It's going to start. Get there early because the seats will fill up.
It's going to be a big one, and okay. I encourage people to come out. If you're not happy with the way things are going one way or the other, this is your opportunity to become informed. You know, we're providing the venue. We put some time and effort into this. So, you know, the opportunity is there if people choose to take advantage of it.
Just like listening to KCNR 1460, we are having all the candidates right here. Right, Elizabeth?
Yes, absolutely, Carl. Okay. Great teamwork we've got going on.
All right.
Okay, thanks
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Bye.
Our guest is Francie Sullivan, and, of course, she is running for city council. We've had you on. We hope to bring you back, and so we have just a few minutes left.
Let's have a quick one on Stillwater.
Yes.
Would you give away property at Stillwater if it got businesses there?
In today's climate, I'd want a long-term firm commitment from them. I think that we'd have to be careful that we didn't have a repeat of some of the experiences that have happened in the past with economic development. But absolutely, it's there. The city has spent millions of dollars building it. And if we could get someone to come in here and create some jobs, it would be a wonderful thing.
I like that because we have spent a lot of money there, and we need to get it jump-started somehow.
Let's get it moving.
What would you do, just in a quick, we've only got a few minutes left, how would you bring it jobs in here? How would you entice a business to come to Reading?
Well, I guess before that, I think something that we need to do and something we did do when I was on the Board of Supervisors is we need to be certain that we're protecting the businesses that are already here and the people that are here that would like to start small businesses, the small manufacturers, because we have a lot of, I think, surprising things around in the nooks and crannies of this area. I mean, I never cease to be amazed at the businesses that are here. And I think we need to be sure, as helpful as we can to the people that are trying to start businesses that are here. As far as attracting businesses, you know, the caller who was asking me about my kumbaya moments, but I do think if you start asking people, which I have done, about why they're here, mostly, it's because of our lifestyle. I think this is a gold mine. I mean, I've always been worried that I was going to live long enough to see this place just trampled to the, you know, that this would be like Tahoe. But, I mean, there's everything here. And I'm from a little really remote part of Montana, and it's amazing the millionaires that go there to, you know, Charles Schwab has a house close to our house, and Ken Siebold, and, you know, I mean, people move there because it's a beautiful place to live, and they bring their business with them. And that's not the only answer, but that's why I think the things we can do to make our town just as, you know, I think I'd like to see Reading known, I'd like them to get some notoriety as the best place to live and work rather than the cheapest place to start a business.
Okay. Francie Sullivan, running for city council. We've just got 2 minutes. What do you want everybody to remember here?
Your closing thoughts.
Yeah, you'll be
for
back
today.
Be back again. But what is your closing thoughts for today, like Linda says?
I'd like your vote. All of you who are listening, I'd like your vote. I really do think we need to grab this opportunity. Tough times are when changes can be made. In good times, you know, everybody's happy and they don't want the boat rocked. But right now, we have this moment in time when we could make some significant changes in the way we govern. We could make changes in the services that we use. We could prioritize the services that we want. And we could make a lot of decisions about how we want our town to be. And I think we need to have those discussions. We need to do that. And we need to do it with respect for each other's opinions.
Okay. Francie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much for doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
We want to have everyone.
It affects all of us.
Yeah, yes. We want to have every one of the candidates on. We will be asking, we're already setting them up. Gary Cadd's going to be on here soon. We'll have everybody will be on. Our guest tomorrow will be Sheriff Tom Basinko. And Tom's going to come on and talk about a number of different things that are going on in our county, a number of different subjects. I'm sure one of them is going to be marijuana eradication and other incidents that are other concerns that we have for our county and law enforcement, especially with all the changes going on. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, on KCNR 1460. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta, Redding.